If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 33. I spoke last week from Psalm 32 and shared how these two psalms are closely linked. Some commentaries treat them as one because of that, the link of their subject on the mercy and the majesty of God. God is exalted because of his infinite grace and his infinite greatness. One of these psalms reveals our God as Redeemer, the other as Creator. Psalm 33 is an unsigned psalm, but reveals it was written about a time of crisis in the nation of Israel. We know the God of heaven is the God of history, and we worship him and exalt him and bow before him and ask his intervention over our needs, and we do that today. Psalm 33, verse 1, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations." Verse number 12, we often quote this verse in patriotic thoughts and days. "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men from the place of his habitation. He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works." And then he goes on to say that it is not kings and horses and armies that save men, but the grace of God. "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee." Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word today, I ask that you'll help us and meet with us. Father, we pray for your help for our nation. We pray for your help for our leaders. We pray for your protection for our police departments. We pray for your protection upon our people with this virus that's still going around. We pray, Lord, that you will receive praise, honor, and glory from us, and that we'll be a thankful people for all you've done. And as already been prayed here this morning, we pray that these will be the seeds of revival, Lord, to draw people back to God and stir hearts to see the need of worshiping you and serving you. And we pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 33 begins with a call to praise, to rejoice in the Lord. The redemption of sinful man has been the theme of these two psalms. And chapter 32, verse 1 and 2 said, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." You're saved. God has declared you righteous in his sight. In the New Testament, the term that we use to describe that is justification. Look with me at Romans 4 and verse 25. Romans 4, verse 25. And I'll read through chapter 5 and verse number 2. Speaking about Abraham and how he was just before God, Romans 4:25 says, "But for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So justification is righteousness declared by God. God is the judge, and God looks upon those who've been saved, cleansed of their sin, as righteous in His sight. So let us rejoice in the Lord and give praise to God for what He's done. He's provided redemption. Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins. He is risen from the dead. He is the giver of everlasting life. So let us focus on Him and praise Him and rejoice in what God has done. When Paul the Apostle wrote God's message to the believers at Philippi, the little book of Philippians, it is a prison epistle. Paul was in prison, and yet the theme seems to be to rejoice in the Lord in Philippians. And Paul understood what was happening. In verse 12 of chapter 1, he said, I would have you to understand that me being in prison has furthered the cause of the gospel of Christ. Sometimes difficulty, hardship, things that we wonder about and weep over can further the cause of Christ, and God will use that to bring honor and glory unto Himself. And Paul was the spiritual man that could see that and have an understanding of that, that his sufferings made him more like Christ and provided opportunity. You know one thing, if you go to jail, you got a captive audience to speak to there. And you get opportunity to talk to people that they can't get away from you. Even the guards listen. And so that was an opportunity for the Apostle Paul to spread the gospel. He said, I rejoice in verse 18 of Philippians 1. God is at work in you. I rejoice in that in chapter 2 and verse 13. In chapter 3 and verse 1, he said, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice. In chapter 4, he deals with rejoicing and keeping our focus on truth and honesty, on what is just and pure and lovely and of good report. And if there's virtue and praise, he said, think on these things. When our thinking is right, then our praise will be right. Our focus will be right. Rejoice. He rejoiced also that their support of him had flourished again. This was a church that had sent unto him offerings and help, and Paul rejoiced in that, just like our missionaries. Today we have systems in churches and mission boards that the missionaries have an amount of money that they can raise, and normally that stays very stable, and the missionaries receive, they know what they can expect to receive every month throughout the year. And like in Paul's day, it was an offering from this church and one from that, and maybe it would come and maybe it didn't, but we thank the Lord that this church has been faithful. Every missionary we've committed to send an offering to, and there's about 45 of every one of them, every month they've received the support for 41 years. Every missionary has received what we've committed to them and more. Because as they've had special needs, our church has been one to offer offerings to the special needs. We're thankful that God has supplied the need that we can be faithful to give to the missionaries, be a help and a blessing to them, an encouragement to them, and accomplish fruit to your account by giving the missions through this church. When they get people saved and they build churches and expand the ministry, you who support them, it abounds to your account with the Lord. Praise God with music, the psalm said. Praise God with singing. The psalmist said, sing unto the Lord a new song. Have you ever written a song? I wish I could. I wish I could play an instrument. The closest I ever got was with the spoons or the ham bone or something like that. You know, just make a joyful noise. It's not real music. But the psalmist could play, and the psalms are songs to glorify God and to be sung in their worship. And so he said, sing a new song. Well, it takes something to write a song. It takes a lot of thought, takes meditation, takes time to think about rhymes and alliteration to go along with music. And so pray that he could sing a new song. And the Bible mentions that several times. In Psalm 40 and verse 3 through 5, he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. This is a new song that's in the mouth of the psalmist. In Psalm 96 and verse 1, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Then Psalm 144 and verse 9. Psalm 144 and verse 9. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Then down in verse 15 he closes, happy is that people that is in such case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And then Psalm 149 and verse 1, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Verse 4, for the Lord taketh pleasure in his people, he will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory, let them sing aloud upon their beds. You ever lie down at night and a song comes to mind? And you sing the words of that song. I get songs and melodies on my mind sometimes, and I sing them all day long. Just can't get away from it. You know, just keep singing it. I sing best when I cut grass because nobody can hear me that way. I just sing out good and loud, you know. I've seen a commercial on TV with some guy on a lawnmower singing, and I thought, man, how many times have I sung a song to the Lord when I'm cutting grass? Right now, with all this rain, it's been quite often. About every 3 or 4 days, I think my backyard needs cutting. Well, there's one more place in the Bible, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 42, that the Bible speaks of a new song. These are the only places where this is found, and I wanted to share them with you. In Isaiah 42 and verse number 8, I am the Lord, this is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. Neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song in his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. All of these deal with the Lord's new song. The Lord Jesus as Messiah and salvation in his servant in chapter 42 of Isaiah, and beginning with verse number 1, is a reference to Christ. And so let us who are righteous give God praise and sing unto him for the salvation that he has provided for us. cleansing us of our sin, declaring us acceptable in His sight, being made righteous because of God's goodness and God's favor. Thanks be unto God. We go back to Psalm 33, secondly today. Our praise is required for the power of God's Word. Back in Psalm 33 in verse 4 through 9, that he describes God's Word, and we are to offer him praise, for God hath revealed himself to us in his Word. Christ upholdeth all things by the word of his power. The universe is in existence. It continues. At night, if you stop and look on a dark night, that when the stars are visible to you and you can see them all, if you lie down on your back and look up, you can actually tell that everything is moving. And it's moving so slowly that it's usually not observed and not thought about. And so all these things are moving. What in the world keeps them from being like balls on a pool table that somebody knows how to chalk up real good and smack that cue ball and scatter every ball that's gathered? What keeps them from running into each other and flying apart and jumping off the table and all of that? God upholds them by the word of his power, and the world works exactly as he has set it in motion to do. America and Great Britain have both lost their way morally because they've ceased to follow the word of God and obey God's commands. We are guided by faith in God's word, which is unchanging and unfailing. We don't live by personal feelings and personal desires and personal whims. We humble ourselves and submit ourselves to what God's Word says. Children grow up today without a Bible. They grow up without morals. They are not going to be taught those things in a government-controlled school today as they once were, like when I was a child. When I was a child going to school in the early 50s, teachers led in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. They led in prayer. Sometimes there would be a student in the upper grades. The student would lead in prayer. And they taught morals and ethics because they taught from the Bible. And we had a Bible chapel every week. There was a lady named Mrs. Trumbull who taught Bible for about 50 years. And that lady could make the Bible come alive to you, telling the stories of Moses and Daniel and the Old Testament characters. And she taught in the church, in the school chapel service. And today, all of that has been outlawed. Back in Psalm 33 and verse 4, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." The world has sought alternate belief in how things came to be. We believe in the Genesis account of creation. We believe the Bible is the word of God, and that God has given us a revelation of himself in the Bible. But the world as a whole has rejected the greatest power in the universe, and that is the Word of God. You must make a choice to believe God, or you're going to believe various theories of random chance, like the Big Bang and things of that nature. People believe the Big Bang, but they don't know how the Big Bang happened, and they don't know what was there before that, and they don't know what happened afterwards to put everything in harmony and rotation rather than in chaos. The same God who created all things will also one day judge men, and men are accountable to him whether they want to be or not. In verse 8, recognize God who has the power requires of us an accountability. "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him." Now, most of you are familiar with Romans chapter 1 and beginning in verse 19 through 21, how that the problem with mankind is not that they don't know there's a God. The problem is that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, but became vain in their imaginations. And they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. And because of that, we're plunged into all this trouble. The Lord our God is worthy of our praise as Creator, as Redeemer, as Sustainer. God has supplied our needs. In Psalm 19, the psalmist speaks about the Word being worthy of praise. In verse 1 through 4 of Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night uttereth not, or showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. All over the world, doesn't matter what country you come from, you look up in the sky, you see the same sky that everybody else sees. You see it at a different time period. You know, there's 24 hours difference between here and Vietnam. We lost a day when we went over there, and we told everybody if we got killed in Vietnam, they owed us a day's pay, you know, because it was a day later over there than it was here. But when we came home, of course, we gained a day back, you see, and if you got to come home. So the time frame is different, but it's the same sky that we look up at. It's the same God that created it. And it doesn't matter what state you're in or what nation you're in or what people you are a part of. We worship the true God, then we worship the same God. In Psalm 33 and verse 7 through 10, "Now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb, I opened not my mouth, because Thou didst. Remove Thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of Thine hand." That's Psalm 39. Excuse me, I think I said Psalm 33. So the Scriptures teach us that the Lord is the one who judges men. The Lord is, His Word is perfect that converts men. But He is also going to judge men by their own words and by everything that has proceeded out of our mouths. By the word of the Lord, we're warned to obey. If we do that, it brings reward unto us. God has given us the opportunity to hear His word and see His word, believing His word and obeying His word. We're warned of the dangers if we do that, and there's a reward if we obey Him. Thirdly, back in Psalm 33, God judges the nations. First, He looks at those that rebel at His word. Verse 10 and 11, "The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations." And then verse 12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance." Nations that honor His word. The decline in our nation has come. We have stopped honoring the word of God and stopped honoring the person of our God. We see England ahead of us in these things. We see the foreign influence there. We see the foreign influence here. Those who do not worship the true God that we worship, but they worship something else. In Romans 1, it speaks of all the idolatry of man and all the different gods that they worship. Our nation today and England also are no different than King Jehoiakim. In Jeremiah chapter 36, God gave Jeremiah a prophecy to write, and he wrote the prophecy, and it was taken before the king and read. And the king took a pen knife, the Bible says, and he would read a leaf of the writing, and he'd take a knife and cut it out, and he'd put it in the fire. And that's what the world has done to the word of God today. Every time they read something they don't want to hear, they reject it. They fight against it. They speak against it. They pass laws against it. They want the freedom and liberty to live in sin, and they do not want God to hold them accountable for what wrong they have done. And people are doing the same thing today, rejecting the Word of God and cutting it out with a knife and putting it in the fire. There's no fear of God in their eyes. There's no fear of God's judgment in their eyes. There's no fear of hell or the lake of fire in their eyes. They have rejected these things from the Word of God. God's Word has warned them. God's Word has spoken and given them understanding. They can be saved. They can be delivered. They don't have to go to hell. They don't have to be cast into the lake of fire. But if they reject God's Word and God's salvation, there is no other recourse. In verse 13 through 15, the Lord looks from heaven and beholds all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. Verse 18 says, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. It is God's protection that saves nations. His mercy delivers us because we have believed in him. We hope, we wait, we believe God will fulfill his promises. Verse 22, let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. God is on the throne. There's trouble in our nation. There's trouble in the world. There's problems. But God is overseeing it all. And for those who believe in him, we trust him that he will bring to pass the promises he has made. He's going to complete our salvation one day. He's going to take us to heaven to be with him. And we're going to have a home prepared, and we can rejoice in the Lord if we're saved. We can rejoice in the Lord that he's made a way for us to be cleansed and to be counted righteous in his sight. And God is able to help those who believe in him. We mentioned several in prayer requests this morning. The list is very long. We mentioned it on Wednesday nights. We send it out in a email to all the members that we have email on to remember folks in prayer. I think there's probably over 25 people that we sent out this week. We try to put the most urgent and the most new prayer requests in the emails that we sent out. And we ask you to pray for the church here, Bible Baptist, and remember us to the Lord. Ask God to protect our people from the virus and from harm's way. And bless our nation. May we look back to God. May we see our dependence upon him and our need of him in our daily lives. And God likes to be told that he's loved. God likes to be told that we believe in him and believe his word. That's a part of worship, to ascribe praise unto God, for he is worthy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your people. Thank you for those gathered here today and for those watching from home or wherever they may be with a computer, or even some folks like Brother Chris Holland has shown us his widescreen TV that he can project it on and see it in big color. He sent me a little clip, Father, and showed me what I look like on the widescreen. I apologize to you, Lord, that I don't look better. But I want you to be the focus, not me. And we need your help. I would do anything I can to help your people, Father, but I have very little power when it comes to the events of the world. But you have all power, and so we call upon you and pray for your help. And bless your people today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Miss Gwen.